This is the chart you've been voting for. The Unsigned Chart on 105 Drive. Sponsored by Perry Road Studios.
So here we are, 3 minutes past 6 o'clock. It is the entertainment hour between now and 7 o'clock. Going to be looking at the Oscars in a short while. Also keeping an eye on some new releases in the cinema, including Into the Woods and Whiplash. First, though, we'll go to the unsigned chart, as revealed by Tim on last night's New Music Generator programme. We've got a chart countdown to bring you and a new entry. And that new entry comes from Oscar Corney. Song's called Fire.
This is the chart you've been voting for. The unsigned chart on 105 Drive. Sponsored by Perry Road Studios.
Fire's burning,
So Oscar Corney, the new entry in this week's Unsigned chart. And Oscar is 19 years old, the former guitarist from The Varsity, which is a band you might be familiar with, and is just starting out on a solo career. If you want to hear some more of Oscar, he's got a SoundCloud stream, and that track is available for free there. And there's also a Facebook page, which is Oscar Corney Music, so keep an eye out for that. We'll now count down the Unsigned chart for this week from 5 down to 1.
This is the chart you've been voting for. The Unsigned chart on 105 Drive. Sponsored by Perry Road Studios.
So gone are the Farlanders. Not such a lovely time for them. And this is the Unsigned chart, week 137. At number 5, Glue and Chewy. 4, Ellie Dixon. First of the two new entries from last week, Run Wolf Run. Plum Jam at number 3, One-Eyed Jack. At 2, well, it's the number 1 over the Christmas period, Tom Roddis, No Apology. And at number 1, it is the second of the two new entries, Datum Plain and I Believe.
The Unsigned Chart. The Unsigned Chart, number 1. Number 1.
Why?
So Andy, David, Liam and Charlie, together they are Datum Plain, the acoustic indie rock band with a folk vibe, who have found themselves the number one in the Unsigned chart this week. Their debut EP, Things You Need to Hear, is now out on iTunes and Spotify. They have a Facebook page you can go to find out more. Simply Datum Plain, D-A-T-U-M Plain on Facebook for them. There, congratulations, guys. Number one in the Unsigned chart for the next 7 days. We'll update you on Monday. In the meantime, you better get voting, really, for any of the five in the chart or for Oscar Corney's Fire, which is the new entry for this week. You need to go to cambridge105.fm/unsigned chart. Place your vote there. And 105 Breakfast with Neil and Linda will also be playing tracks daily, every day at 8:30. Sky and Hattie on the way with film and theatre, looking at the Oscars, the nominations for which have been announced this afternoon. We'll see if Emma's in there. And we'll go there towards Sky and Hattie with Sia. And You're Never Fully Dressed Without a Smile. Cambridge 105, 25 after 6, and Sky and Hattie are now crawling around under the desk looking for stuff. There's one on either side and another one in the middle.
What?
Yeah, there'll be a blue one. Yeah, blue. I can't remember. I've got red round here, so it won't be that. It's the headphone cables, everybody.
Haven't got a jack.
We'll sort you one out later. Okay. So we're doing film and theatre. Film to start off with. And, oh, yes, Hattie's now trying to garrote Sky. There is one over your side. There really is. There's three.
We're in.
Okay. Right. Whiplash, go.
Yes.
Sorry, I forgot it was that microphone.
Let's see. This is out tomorrow. Whiplash, an ambitious jazz drummer, is pushed to greatness by a monstrous mentor in this dazzling drama.
Got any friends, Andy?
No.
Oh, why is that?
I don't know. I just never really saw the use.
Oh, who are you going to play with otherwise? Lennon and McCartney, they were school buddies, am I right?
Charlie Parker didn't know anybody until Joe Jonas threw a cymbal at his head.
So that's your idea of success, huh?
I think being the greatest musician of the 20th century is anybody's idea of success.
Dying broke and drunk and full of heroin at the age of 34 is not exactly my idea of success.
I'd rather die drunk, broke at 34 and have people at a dinner table talk about me than live to be rich and sober at 90 and nobody remember who I was.
Ah, but your friends will remember you. That's the point.
None of us were friends with Charlie Parker. That's the point.
Travis and Dustin, they have plenty of friends and plenty of purpose.
I'm sure they'll make great school board presidents someday.
Oh, that's what this is all about? You think you're better than us?
Catch on quicker and model you in?
I got a reply for you, Andrew. You think Carlton football's a joke? Come play with us.
Four words you will never hear from the NFL.
Who wants dessert?
And from Lincoln Center?
Ooh, yes. So 19-year-old drummer Andrew Naaman is determined not to settle for mediocrity. He wants to become one of the jazz greats like his idol Buddy Rich. He wins a place at America's Top Music Academy, where Terence Fletcher is in charge of the leading jazz ensemble. Andrew's talent soon catches this star instructor's attention, but Fletcher is a hard, cruel, bullying taskmaster who drives his competitive students ruthlessly towards perfection. This is written and directed by Damien Cazelle, and it's already won a Grand Jury Prize and the Audience Award at this year's Sundance Film Festival, and it just looks like a really intense, really electrifying film. J.K. Simmons been up for Best Supporting Actor. I believe he won a Golden Globe, but he's also up for an Oscar. And also Miles Teller as the lead, also showing great variety and talent. This looks like about a drama, about blistering, about achieving perfection and wanting to be somebody, but having to deal with the psychological and physical struggles, particularly with a mentor who is unforgiving and just wants to get the most out of you.
I got the impression
driving you to the edge.
Pressure from the family as well,
yeah,
which I guess
exactly.
A lot of people face in all walks of life.
Yeah, so it seems like a really focused, really driven film. And hopefully it will do well at awards, and it's on at the Picture House, and you can see it at 3:30 on Friday tomorrow, 6:20 or 8:40.
Okie dokie. And Into the Woods.
Into the Woods. Into the Woods.
Johnny Depp and Meryl Streep star in a film version of the hit Broadway musical that intertwines several grim fairy tale classics.
Into the woods, it's time to go. I hate to leave, I have to though. Into the woods, it's time, and so I must begin my journey. Into the woods and through the trees to where I am expected, ma'am. Into the woods to grandmother's house.
Stop it.
Now you're certain of your way.
The way is clear, the light is good. I have no fear, nor no one should. The woods are just trees, the trees are just wood. I sort of hate to ask it, but do you have a basket?
Yes, we do.
Don't suppose you're planning on buying any of these?
Oh, shh, now. Don't stray and be late, all right?
And you might save some of those sweets for Granny. Oh, my. She's a thief.
Shall I play it again?
Oh, let's. No, it's okay. A childless baker and his wife venture into the woods to confront the witch, who placed a curse on their family. On their colourful journey, they encounter the likes of Cinderella, Rapunzel and the Big Bad Wolf. This is Disney's adaptation of Stephen Sondheim and James Lapine's much-loved Broadway musical, which puts a new spin on these timeless characters, which you'll also be familiar with if you caught it last year at the ADC Theatre.
I did.
Yeah.
I
mean,
did we all see it at some point?
I'm afraid I haven't seen. I'm not familiar with the musical at all. So
are
this
you
was
not?
Quite. This was my first time, and I enjoyed it. But I did find the actual story itself, like the first half is better than the second half, I found.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a musical of two halves, and it's divided really well in a theatre.
Well, two thirds and a third, I think,
well,
almost,
yeah.
Though, isn't it, really?
Yeah. It's divided really well in a theatre because of the interval and the narrator and so, and it keeps it moving at a slightly different pace than you get with the film. And you know, I love the musical on stage, and the music itself is great. Stephen Sondheim is an amazing composer. He's really known for having really fast lyrics and fitting a lot of words into a short amount of space. So, you know, actors have to be pretty talented to get it all together in the right place. He wrote Sweeney Todd, A Little Night Music. He wrote the lyrics for West Side Story, amongst others. And I mean, he was very involved with this as well. Most of the cast got to rehearse with him. He spent quite a lot of one-on-one time with Meryl Streep as well, because the witch is sort of such an important character. I just found it so long. And it's not. It's only 2 hours. It runs at 125 minutes. And it felt like 3 days.
I think the pacing is kind of, like you say, the second half, it loses its pacing after a while. I think because you're so blown away initially by all the effects, the magic and how it looks, which is great, but then it kind of has nowhere else to go afterwards,
yeah.
So it kind of spends it all. And
it uses all its tricks quite early on.
Yeah.
Quite early on, and then sort of just there's a lot of repetition.
What about the mix of British and American actors? And this is quite an interesting, it's a long-standing Disney issue, really. As I understand it, this was filmed in the UK.
Yeah.
As was 101 Dalmatians, which also had sort of a mixed cast, if you like.
Yeah, I mean, they are a brilliant cast. They all handle each character. They all handle their own characters.
But the baker and the baker's wife are British.
And sing
in English accents. And then Little Red Riding Hood comes, and she has an American accent. She sounds like she's from the Bronx.
Which is very off-putting, especially when you then pair her up with Jack.
The girl in the ADC Theatre production was a lot better than the annoying one in this movie.
She was brilliant, wasn't she? Jack is played by Daniel Huddlestone, who people will have seen in Les Mis as well. So
he's very good.
Yeah, and he's got a lot of, he's got a reasonable amount of musical experience under his belt.
And James Corden, of course, who is about to move to the US chat show circuit, taking over from Craig Ferguson on one of the hundreds of late night comedy Jonathan Ross-esque chat shows over there.
I mean, you know, to give James Corden his due, he's really sort of conquered the global entertainment industry while still being a real sort of, you know, English homeboy as well, you know.
It's strange. I'm trying to think of the last time that an actor, let alone a comic actor, actually managed to do something like that. And he can sing.
Yeah.
Really, yeah. I was really surprised. I mean, I'm not really familiar and I'm not so keen on his earlier, more, TV comic stuff. But certainly, yeah, this is a breakthrough for him. And the relationship between him and Emily Blunt. As the baker's wife, is, it's charming, very charming.
Yeah. The cast are all brilliant. You know, Meryl Streep is very good. She's sort of been raved about with this. But I just didn't think it was like that stunning a performance compared to other musical films that we've seen in the past few years. I mean, especially from Rob Marshall, the director alone. He's brought us Chicago and Nine as well, which was actually very similar to Chicago, but nevertheless, it wasn't the best witch performance I think I've ever seen.
And and certainly Johnny Depp as well. It's you know, they obviously plug him quite highly, but at the same time, it's only a small part that he has.
It's virtually a cameo, really.
Yeah,
isn't
spoilers, he's gone in the first like 15 minutes, so don't go expecting to see Johnny Depp. That being said, Chris Pine and Billy Magnussen as the two princes were brilliant, and I wish they'd gotten a lot more screen time. Their duet on Agony, much more greater than yours, it's one of the highlights of the musical for me, and it went down so well. We were in a packed out screen and everybody was laughing. It was really good.
We had a batch of about 20 foreign students aged around 18-19 who just bursted the giggles with a slight delayed effect once they worked out what the line was.
I do find that it can be quite heavy and it can be a bit intense in places and a little bit dark, you know, with the stepsisters and the cutting off of the toes and the heels and stuff. And
not what you think from Disney.
No, it's a slightly
people
darker.
People died as well in a Disney movie. Yeah. That doesn't happen.
Quite a few of them as well. They just kept dropping like flies. it's great cinematography, brilliant costume design. The stepsisters especially had dresses that I would quite like to have myself. In terms of adaptation, it's really well done. And I think the problems that I have with it and that most people have with it are with the original musical in terms of pacing and the build-up and the length and the plot development. I think those issues that people are talking about and that critics are talking about are with the actual musical itself, not with the film.
But that's interesting, because I thought it was... Well, actually, you'll tell me it's the same production, but it's remarkably similar to what was on at the ADC.
Yeah. Which is
and I
great.
Mean, remarkably similar.
Yes, well done, everybody at the ADC. but yes. So I think it's definitely worth seeing. It's a PG rating. I wouldn't take younger children to see it.
No, my niece, who has a bit of a problem anyway with bad things happening in movies, may not be quite so happy.
No. But if you do want to check it out, you can catch it tonight at Vue at 8 o'clock and at Cineworld at 10 past 8, and then tomorrow at Vue at 11:15, 2:15, 5:15 and 8:15, and tomorrow at Cineworld at 11:10, 2:10, 5:10 and 8:10, and similar showings throughout the rest of the week as well.
Okay, what we'll do then, we'll take a quick break for some music. On the other side of the travel, we'll go into Oscars and theatre, and Hattie thinks that she can get one of those Cinderella dresses for the Vanity Fair party at the Oscars. How do we get her there? Where it's Oscar time.
Yes,
indeed, at the 87th Academy Awards. The nominees were announced today by Academy President Cheryl Boone Isaacs, as well as actor Chris Pine and directors Alfonso Cuarón and J.J. Abrahams, who both won Best Director Awards last year. Or Alfonso Cuarón did, sorry. And the ceremony will be held on the 22nd of February at the Dolby Theatre in Hollywood, hosted by Neil Patrick Harris.
Doogie Howser.
Doogie Howser.
I'm so excited. It's going to be brilliant. If you've ever seen him host the Tonys, it's going to be brilliant. So a bit of a roundup overall. Birdman and the Grand Budapest Hotel have scored 9 nominations in total. Boyhood and American Sniper just behind with 6. Boyhood was the big winner at Golden Globes earlier this week as well, picking up Best Drama, Best Director and Best Supporting Actress. Foxcatcher, Interstellar and Whiplash, which we've just looked at, all took 5 nominations. Surprisingly, though, Gone Girl has missed out almost entirely, including a big surprise in Gillian Flynn, who's the author of the novel, and the screenplay. She wrote the adaptation herself, being completely absent from the adapted screenplay category. Bit strange. Also, Nightcrawler completely snubbed when it was expected to do quite well in the nominations.
So the Nominations for Best Picture are American Sniper, Birdman, Boyhood, The Grand Budapest Hotel, The Imitation Game, Selma, The Theory of Everything, and Whiplash. Personally, I think Imitation Game is going to beat Pillar to Post, but obviously there's a great lineup. In fact, I've only seen like two of those films.
A lot it's interesting, as is often the case, a lot of those are all relatively recent movies that have only been out the last couple of weeks. Probably the oldest is perhaps Grand Budapest Hotel.
Yeah, it's Oscar bait season.
Budapest Hotel and Birdman both picked up Best Picture at the Golden Globes, so they're currently leading predictions. Theory of Everything is also with a strong chance of sweeping up, although didn't fare as well as expected at the Globes.
No, I'm not a gambling woman, but I would put my money on The Theory of Everything sweeping up at the Academies. I think it's going to be a real chance for the entertainment industry to sort of honour Stephen Hawking.
And then come to Cambridge afterwards and say, well, that's where that was filmed. Oh, look, there's Emma, they'll say.
For Best Actor, Actress and Supporting, there's a great lineup, a real good mix of characters as well. Rosamund Pike, I think, would be my prediction for Gone Girl in Best Actress, but Marion Cotillard has blown critics away completely with her performance in 2 Days, 1 Night. So a bit of a surprise nomination. People were not expecting that. Felicity Jones and Eddie Redmayne, both nominated for their roles in Stephen Hawking biopic, The Theory of Everything. And Eddie Redmayne is struggling to take it all in.
This is an amazing, amazing thing, but I'm just trying to come to terms with it all. I've gotten from sort of 0 to 100 miles an hour in the space of about 4 minutes, so it's extraordinary.
That was Eddie Redmayne speaking to us a little earlier on.
Yeah. Eddie Redmayne also appeared at Water Sprite International Film Festival a couple of years ago.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he's a Trinity alumni. Mm. And Felicity Jones, radio fans might recognise from The Archers.
Who did she play in The Archers?
Emma Grundy.
Who would be, I'm trying to think how old Emma Grundy, the character's been in for a while, but it's one of these characters always used to be, or they just outside.
Channing Tatum also missed out, despite co-stars Steve Farrell and Mark Ruffalo both being nominated for their performance in Foxcatcher, but that's not a massive surprise. I don't think anybody was expecting him to be nominated. There's surprisingly no nod for Jennifer Aniston, who's expected to be up for Best Actress for her performance in Cake, which has been a bit of a career turner for her. Mm. Especially, she's been nominated everywhere, pretty much, apart from the Academies. The Golden Globes, the Screen Actors Guild Awards, and Critics' Choice Awards. And sadly, our own Emma has also just missed out on Best Supporting Actress for her role in Theory of Everything this time. But maybe next year, Emma.
How about unofficially you won Best Extra?
Best
Supporting Extra.
Yeah.
How many, just for those people who don't know, you are a budding actress.
I am.
And you had a part as an extra in the Theory of Everything.
Yes.
How you know, can you be seen? If
I can.
But by people who aren't yourself?
well, hopefully. But no, I've seen myself 4 times throughout the play, throughout the film, sorry. Twice up close and 2. So I've been telling everyone what I'm wearing, what I look like, so hopefully they'll spot me, but I certainly spotted myself.
We've also got now, we've got a bit of a stacking up here. We've got the Brit nominations just in as well.
Yes.
Do you want to quickly go through the remaining Oscars and we'll of note, and then we'll have a look through who the Brit nominees are?
Yeah, also a big topic will be the best animation, and there's a lot of great films. Big Hero 6 not even out yet, comes out on the 30th for January, but you've also got Box Trolls, How to Train Your Dragon 2, which also won a Golden Globe, Song of the Sea, and The Tale of Princess Kaguya. Personally, we liked Box Trolls.
Yes.
I think it felt like a really good original animation, obviously, but Train Your Dragon's going to be highly recommended.
DreamWorks and Disney up together in one category. It's going to be a bit of a fight between the two, I think.
Sure, but Lego Movie surprisingly only picked up a nomination for Best Original Song and no animation nod.
Bit of a shocker.
Yeah.
But we've all got a copy of all of the nominations, film categories, actor categories, production categories. So we're all going to make our predictions, and then post-Oscars we'll come in and we'll see how we all fare.
Yeah, no, that could be rather fun, actually. Or not, actually, according to how we managed to get through those. So then, we'll do the Brit nominees, shall we? And I won't go through all of the categories, just the ones of note. British male solo artist, Damon Albarn.
What?
Ed Sheeran, George Ezra, Paolo Nutini, and Sam Smith.
Sam Smith will get it.
A British female solo artist, Ella Henderson.
What?
FKA Twigs.
No, yeah, I could definitely see that.
Jessie Ware.
Strong one.
Lily Allen.
What has she done in the past year?
No, I don't know. I've been in the red balloon. Paloma Faith.
Oh, I love Paloma Faith so much, but she won't get it.
Now, the British group.
Yes.
It's a battle of the Cambridge bands.
No way! Oh, how exciting.
Alt J.
Oh!
Clean Bandit.
Yes!
I do like Clean Bandit.
Coldplay. One Direction and Royal Blood.
Royal Blood!
I suspect, depending on who is voting for it, it may go to... Well, I really love Clean Bandit and Alt-J.
Okay, British single. I hurtle through these. Calvin Harris, Summer. No. Clean Bandit, Rather Be.
Yes.
Duke Dumont, I Got You. Ed Sheeran, Thinking Out Loud. Ella Henderson, Ghost.
No.
George Ezra, Budapest.
Yes.
Mark Ronson, Bruno Mars, Uptown Funk.
Yes!
Route 94. Jess Glynn, of course, involved in that one as well, who's also with the Clean Bandit song. My Love, Sam Smith, Stay With Me. And Sigma, Nobody To Love.
No.
I could go through more of these, actually. I'll just quickly highlight the international group because 5 Seconds of Summer, The Black Keys, First Aid Kit, who are in Cambridge on Saturday at the Corn Exchange, Foo Fighters and The War on Drugs. Those on February the 25th.
Yeah.
Well, I dare say there'll be more in the news bulletin at the top of the hour on that. But we'll move across now, shall we, to theatre.
Yes. Let's make a flying visit over to the ADC Theatre for Macbeth. Stars, hide your fires, let light not see my black and deep desires. This is being presented by Cambridge University European Theatre Group, returning with a psychological production of one of Shakespeare's great tragedies. Consumed by the prophecy of the three weird sisters and driven on by his wife's naked ambition, fully clothed, but you know, Macbeth conspires to crown himself King of Scotland. In this medieval world, governed by the laws of the supernatural, Macbeth and Lady Macbeth struggle to exert their will as the prophecy comes to its bloody fulfilment. So I saw it on Tuesday. I saw it on opening night. They've been touring around Europe and this is their home run. I personally would probably call it Macbeth or How to Completely Obscure Your Cast and Suffocate Your Audience with Your Overenthusiasm for the Smoke Machine.
When smoke machines go bad, there's an ITV show for you.
You know what? I really hope... I saw it on opening night, so I really hope this is just teething problems, you know, being back in the ADC Theatre and just, you know, resetting and everything. So, you know, I would expect it to have improved over the past couple of nights, but my goodness, so many scenes were completely obscured. Like, we couldn't actually see the actors on stage.
They were a pea super.
Yes.
Like London of the 1950s.
Very much so. People were coughing. I mean, it's all water-based, so it's not going to do anybody any harm. But yes.
They explain all their stuff in speech, isn't it? Yeah. So you don't need to see.
Yeah. I mean, the actors were good. Guy Clark as Banquo was brilliant. He gave a great performance. I genuinely wish for more stage time for Banquo. We also saw him as Caliban in The Tempest recently as well. The actors were good, but the set was really good. The lighting was great. They did very well with a very minimal set. It was nicely done, but let down by the amount of smoke. So I really do hope that it's picked up because the entire run is almost sold out and there's a last few available tickets for the Saturday matinee at 2:30 and you can still get day tickets as well by phoning up or popping into the box office at 1 o'clock when the box office opens on Park Street, and you can also phone them on Cambridge 300085. Tickets are £14 and £11. Elsewhere in Cambridge.
Elsewhere, you've got more coming
up.
Just in Cambridge, or technically
Cambridge.
Not in Cambridge, I don't know.
Well, out at Wising Arts Centre.
Okay, that's close.
Culture and Sustainability featuring Going Nowhere on Wednesday the 28th of January from 10:30 till 4:30, which is free. A Julie's Bicycle event in partnership with Wising Arts Centre, Cambridge Junction and Arts Council England. This is bringing together thinkers, artists and innovators. This day of talks, performances and workshops will explore the new ways of working that are shaping a more sustainable future for the arts and culture. With spotlights on working internationally, materials and suppliers, how green digital technology really is, years, and presentations of new work by Cambridge Junction. Woohoo! The day aims to inspire debate and equip participants with new insights and practical actions to take away. So it's going to be really interesting. The lineup hasn't been completely confirmed yet, but keep checking the Cambridge Junction website and social media for more information on that. It's taking place at Wising Arts Centre, and yeah, so it's a completely free event, but if you're interested in the arts industry and where it's going, particularly in a time when funding is really tentative, and you know,
it's not good. A lot of companies, well, effectively are no longer companies as a consequence of the reorganisations and the budgets.
Absolutely.
And then you go to the movies and you see something funded from the lottery and it's rubbish.
Well, yes. So if you are interested in the arts industry, especially if you're younger and you're looking to go into the arts industry, this could be a really interesting opportunity for you to get to grips with where the sector's going. There's more information on the Cambridge Junction website, junction.co.uk, or you can phone the box office on 01223 511 511, but bear in mind that it is out at Wising Arts Centre.
So you need to set sail a little bit early.
Yes.
Okay. guys, thank you very much.
Thank you.
So do you want us to now fill in these film nominations, Oscars, whilst we're here?
And
you
absolutely.
Collect them in like a teacher.
Yes.
Okay.
And then we'll run through it all. Thank you, Emma. I've just had Emma's back.
Okay, that's good.
And Sky. Just waiting on you, Julian.
Okay. We'll play some music, shall we, whilst we sort that one out. Paula Cole, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? Thanks very much, guys. I'll see you sort of soonish, not next week.
No, a couple of weeks.
You're back next week, Sky, yeah? Okay, that's grand.